Hello, everybody out there on the internet. God bless you, saints. Good to be with you again this morning. And of course, welcome to Brother and Sister Handas. Glad to have y'all with us. Yes. Brother Wade, you missed it. You missed out. Well, anyway, so I put together just some slides on just to kind of compare and go through a few scriptures and quotes on law and grace. You know, you talk to the young people about things that they're dealing with, everything, it kind of gets you into the mindset of overcoming. And I just to kind of give you an overview of what I wanted to talk about is that law was given to kind of expose our to bring us to a God consciousness, that God is observing us, to make us aware of the things that the defects in our life, and to make you aware that you need something. Because when you look into the mirror of God's word and you begin to see that there are defects in your life, that you need God, that there's something that is lacking in your life, then you begin to cry out for God and you begin to look into his word for a remedy, and you need something. You can't, and there's no satisfaction to the law in anything that you can do. But what the only satisfaction for the law is the righteousness of God that he applies to us by grace. And he gives his grace to us based upon our simply believing in him. So when we believe on him, he applies his grace to us, and his grace works in us, gives us the power to overcome the things of the world. So really, that's what kind of wanted to look at the two things of law versus grace. The law was given, there's a purpose to the law to bring us to a consciousness that there's something lacking in us. But then we need the grace of God to meet the requirement of the law. It's what God did for us that meets the requirement. He paid the price on the cross so that we wouldn't have to die. We wouldn't have to, there's no way for us to meet the requirement of the law. He made it for us.
Yes.
And when we believe on the atonement that he made for us and the purchase price being paid, then he meets the requirement. He has already met the requirement of the law. And a lot of new Christians, when they begin to come to church and everything, and you know, I think it's good to kind of refresh our memory of these kind of basic principles, because sometimes you can get so down deep into the deep things of the word and everything, and you forget that we're not saved by the things that we do.
That's right.
We're not saved by trying to work something up within ourselves.
Right.
And that's what in the book of Romans chapter 3 and the whole book of Galatians that Martin Luther just said, he spent his whole life really looking at the book of Galatians, because the book of Galatians keeps reminding you that you ain't saved because you have kept yourself from this or from that, or because you've made yourself holy because of your works. But you know, new Christians and so forth, you start your Christian journey with legalism. You look to see, like a lot of the questions the young people ask at the youth Bible study, is it okay for me to do this? Is it okay for me to listen to this kind of music? Is it okay for me to listen to do this kind of thing or whatever? Is it okay? And you're looking at it from a very legalist do's and don'ts, that kind of thing. But the message, the gospel, is not do's and don'ts. It's believe on Christ, and he will do it for you. He will work. He will give you overcoming power, so that the faith that the believing in him works outward within you and takes possession of your flesh. So in Romans chapter 3 verses 9-10, and I know we're trying to keep the Sunday school lesson to just 30 minutes, so I'm not gonna go on for too long, but we'll just kind of cover some basics. In Romans chapter 3, he says, "What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise." He's talking about the comparison between Jews and Gentiles. Are Jews better than Gentiles because Jews keep the law, have the law, all these kind of things? "No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's nobody righteous, by themselves, by them, by just because they have come from a particular genealogy, or because they do a particular work, or because, in this case, he's talking about circumcision, because a Jew is circumcised, that it doesn't make them, there's no righteousness in your works, in the things that you do. Now we know that what thing in Romans chapter 3 verses 19 to 20, continuing on, he says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. And see, this is where you get into the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law. Oh.
Let me fix that again, brother.
Oh, bless you, brother. We had that same problem last time. I forgot how to fix it.
Wow, look at that.
I tell you, thank you, Ryan.
What would we do without him? Now we know that what things soever the law saith. To say to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God.
Yes.
And there's the purpose of the law. Everybody's guilty, and it exposes your guiltiness. And you know, you begin to talk to some people, and when they become confronted with Christianity or the gospel, a lot of times the reaction is, the things that I'm doing are, there's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing. Why is it wrong for me to drink alcohol or smoke a cigarette or smoke a cigar? I a lot of times, you know, people, they'll say, well, life is hard. I need a little something to kind of help tide me over. I'm serious. These are actual responses to things that I've talked to people about. Why should I not get a little bit of enjoyment in the way like you hear people, they work all day and they go home and drink a beer and fall asleep on the sofa and get up and do it all over again. And because life is hard and everything, there's things they're trying to satisfy that thirst that gives them with a little bit of alcohol, with a smoking a cigar or something. But see, the law was given to make you guilty. When you come to church, the mirror of God's word exposes there's something else that you should be thirsting for. And yeah, you're satisfying your flesh with all these lustful cravings and all these different kind of things, but there's something else that's you were really made to thirst after. And so you begin to realize that there's a defect. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law gives you knowledge that you're doing wrong. That's why my contention is the law should be preached, but it's got to be preached with grace. Right. If you don't preach the law, then how does anybody know that they're sinning? You got to expose. Right. Right. You got to preach it so that people know that there's something wrong in their lives. But if you try to satisfy, if you try to justify yourself by saying, well, just within myself, I'm going to go to Alcoholics Anonymous and stop drinking, or I'm going to try within myself to put aside these things that the devil has me burdened with, you're very unlikely to succeed.
Sanctification.
Exactly. Exactly right.
The second step of sanctification is that legalistic stage.
Amen, brother. That's right. Yeah, it's very dangerous too, because you begin to get to.
You're in that legalistic stage, but you don't have the Holy Ghost yet.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. That's why in Ezekiel chapter 16, the Bible says that I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee of all that thou hast done, saith the Lord. In other words, when you become confronted with the word, you realize Your mouth is closed to any kind of, I didn't do nothing wrong. There's no sin. There's no sin in me. The Bible says that anybody that says that I don't sin is a liar. Because everybody is guilty before God. And that's what the law does. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested in Romans chapter 3, verse 21. The righteousness of God without the law. Something beyond the law, something greater than the law, comes on the scene where you begin to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gives you his righteousness. The righteousness without you trying to do something of your own self, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, grace is something that you don't do anything for. You can't do anything to merit grace.
That's right.
It's not like saying if I can just be a good enough person, then I'll get enough grace to allow me to overcome. No, the only thing that you have to do is believe.
Amen.
And you know, we keep harping on faith. Faith is your revelation, and it comes by hearing the word. So that's why we've got to come to church. We've got to study the Bible, get in the atmosphere, because the word is what will give us faith to overcome. It gives us faith to believe what God has done for us, to accept what he's done for us, to accept the grace that he's given to us. And grace is God's gift to us to overcome the flesh, the things of this world, the things of your carnal nature, all of those kind of things. So it's really almost difficult to preach law and grace, because on the one hand, you've got to preach law in a way that exposes the carnality of our nature and all those things. But yet, we've got to preach it also in a way that gives people hope that you can overcome. You know, we're not supposed to be just kind of accepting of the situation that we're in. Sometimes it seems like it's preached that it doesn't really matter what you do. It doesn't really matter the condition that you're living in. Just go ahead and smoke those cigars and all those kind of things. But that's not true either. It's not a greasy grace.
Right.
We're not living a kind of gospel where you just do whatever. You see, but when you accept the grace of God, it will produce a change in your life.
Amen.
It will give you overcoming power.
That's right. The book of Galatians said that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ.
Exactly.
And grace is our graduation.
Exactly. That's why I'm going to get to how Martin Luther loved. No, that's actually, that's right along with what I'm going to be talking about. I was going to get to how Martin Luther just loved the book of Galatians, and he actually wrote like one of his, I forget the name of it, but that big book he wrote that summarized all of the deep teachings in Galatians, which is really about you can't be saved by your own works. So let's look at some things that Brother Branham said. He said, look at it in the world today where all this ism rises up. Watch on all the cults of non-meat eating and the legalists that I got to do so and so. If I don't speak with tongues, if I don't do this, if I don't shout, if I don't dance, there's something wrong with me. That's legalism. We are saved by grace through faith.
That's right.
He said in Jehovah Jireh, then he taken, now we find out after this dispensation, then it lasted on that legalistic dispensation until the real royal seed come. Then he taken all the legalism upon himself, because he did all the things that we could not do. He paid the price. All the works he did and paid the price of redemption, and God's church is back in grace again. Not under the law and legalism, it's under grace and the promise of God, the true seed of Abraham. He taken the law upon himself, and the law nailed him to the cross of what we must do and must not do and must do and must not do. That is liberty to the church. That you don't have to go like the Catholics, push a penny down the street with your nose and do all of the different novenas and penances and stuff. You don't have to do all of these things to be saved. It's just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what would we say today? You got to quit smoking, you got to quit drinking, you got to quit doing this. That wasn't what he asked. He said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul told him, so you don't have to do anything. What must I do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not come join our congregation and stand up before the church and say this, and we'll sprinkle you, immerse you, or whatever you want to do our way. And if you're not in our church, then that wasn't it. He said, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou and thy house shall be saved. Now, a lot of times when Jesus would be preaching, he was preaching to people that were very legalistic. That's actually what the term Pharisaical means. If you look at what the definition is, Pharisaical, like the Pharisees, Pharisaical means practicing or advocating strict observance of external forms and ceremonies of religion or conduct without regard to the Spirit. It means that you're self-righteous or hypocritical. In other words, you're trying to put on an outward appearance of, you know, like the Pharisees would, I pay tithes, I do all of these things. And then on the inside, like Jesus said, they're like whitewashed tombs. They painted the tomb white on the outside, but on the inside, it's not changed. The grace of God must proceed from an inner work that moves outward to change you outwardly, so that you can bear fruit.
That's right.
It's got to start from the inside. So Pharisaical was a legalistic form where they're trying to work out righteousness by the things that they do. And that's contrary to the gospel. The gospel gives you liberty where you don't have to do all of these things. Like in this little story in Luke chapter 18, where it says two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. And he's looking at it from a legalistic standpoint. I don't do like everybody else. My works are different than these other people. These extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. And he began to look down on. And you know, I wonder, sometimes we, if you will examine ourselves, sometimes we ourselves can get into this mindset that I'm better than other people because I don't do what they're doing. Or you make your salvation about works. I fast twice in the week, which is good, but you're not saved by that.
That's
right. Look at me. I fast twice in the week. I wonder if this publican even does as much as that. I give tithes of all that I possess. My goodness, that's great, that's good, but that's not how you're saved, because you pave the parking lot or you paint the church or add a brick to the building fund or whatever. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. In other words, he's not looking at it from a works perspective. He's crying out for grace. He's like, I know I'm a sinner. But smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You see, if you want to get anything from God, you come by faith. Not based upon anything that you can do. One in this situation came to God with all this truckload of works, and the other came with nothing. There's nothing good in me. And he was just crying out for mercy. Because Galatians chapter 3, there's Galatians. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. That's why Martin Luther just loved the book of Galatians. He said, this next slide, the epistle to the Galatians is my own epistle. I have betrothed myself to it. It is my Katie von Bora. Katie von Bora was that nun that Martin Luther married. And he called the book of Galatians his Katie because it's saying you can't meet, if you're trying to meet the requirements of the law, there's some little thing somewhere that you'll slip. That's why we don't judge one another. We don't point fingers at one another, because if you judge the other, there's some aspect of that that you yourself are guilty of. You know, a lot of times preachers will get up and you talk about things that you're not supposed to ever work on Sunday, and then you slip up and before long your work calls you in and you're working on Sunday or something. There's no aspect of the law that by in yourself you can keep, but God kept, God has kept the entire, all the requirements of the law. So when you believe on him, he has satisfied it. You're justified by your faith, not by your works. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And you know, that in that statement, you could get really deep, because we're trying to grow into a place where our flesh will be changed. This body will be changed. So if you want to grow to a depth of understanding, to wit the adoption, to understand the body change, then you must come to a place where you're not relying on your own works. You're relying on the finished price, the price that Jesus paid. And to have that kind of revelation, it's a revelation that God has paid the price so completely that your body can be changed. And the works of the law will not justify your flesh. Doing stuff or not doing stuff will not justify your flesh. It's only faith and what he has done that will justify you. In questions and answers, Brother Branham said, oh, there's so much of this legalism today, the touch not, taste not. You don't do things legally. I didn't come to this church tonight legally. In other words, because I got to do it. It's that as a law thing. And this is where he starts getting into love. You do things for God, but it's like a marriage. When you're married to your spouse, you're not running out cheating on that person or stuff like that. You're not, and the same thing spiritually, you're not going out listening to other doctrine, doing things wrong, because you love God. You love his word. And that is what that's what makes you come to church, is because you love God, not because somebody's going to bash you over the head because you don't come to church. You should have been here. That's not what your spiritual life is based on. I'm not saying that should not be done, because the law again must be preached. That's the law aspect of it. We're gonna preach. You need to be at church. But one day it will turn into, from a legal thing, to a love relationship. And that's what he's talking about. I felt anything but come down here. Why did I come then? Because I love God. Live or die, I must stand here for him. It's not because I have to. He wouldn't care about whether I did or not. Think about that. If I die, I'd go to heaven anyhow. But I'm coming because I love him. You serve God because you love him, not because you just got to do it. Because you love him enough. Now hear ye him, he says, the law is not a remedy. A law is the magnifying glass to show you sin. See why the law must be preached. I believe the law has got to be preached. It's the one who can put you in prison. It's the law. But it has no redemption in it. Look where we're standing then when Peter spoke that. Let one keep the law and let one do this and one do that. Oh, I'm so glad that there's somebody else to look to. When we're standing in the realm of law and legal, all by it, we're all condemned, and all flesh is condemned by the law. And we were all born in sin, shaping in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies without, not even a chance. We don't have it. How could we stand the justice of God? We couldn't stand it. But thank God that he paid the price. And all you have to do is, like the children of in Egypt, looked at that brazen serpent. Just look and live. Believe on it. In faith, Brother Graham said, and Abraham was called by the grace and by election. And when he was called, when he was received his call, he was given the covenant of God. Not because he was a good man, but it was given unconditionally to him. Not because he did anything, but it was given to him just based simply on his faith. Amen. Just believe, and everything else will be accomplished. Now, this is going to hurt legalist believers just a little bit now. I don't mean to pinch, but we want to know the truth. See, there's nothing that a man can do to save himself. You are already saved by grace. That's right. You can't stop eating meat. You can't stop doing this. You can't stop. There's nothing you can do. Christ saves you, and that alone. And that's right. And we got like 3 more minutes, so I'm trying to wrap up here. And marriage and divorce program said, as long as I want to go do it, it's in my heart to do it. Whether I say as long as it's in my heart to do it, I go do it. Legalism won't let me do it. Now see, here we're getting into legalism versus grace. Because there's got to be, it is, the law exposes that it's wrong to be puffing on cigars and drinking alcohol and all those kind of things. So you're not saved because you stopped doing those things. But yet there is a promise in God's word that God will give you overcoming power to deliver that. So you need a change down in your innermost being to where you don't want to do it anymore. That's the power of the gospel. There's power in the gospel to be able to take the desire for those things, the conscience of sin away from you to where you don't want to do it anymore. And that's where the real truth of the gospel is. It doesn't become a works anymore, but it becomes a nature change. Yes. Where God is now living on the inside and has changed your desire from the things of the world to the things of God. Where now you didn't want to go to church. Now you want the word because you found the thing that will satisfy that thirst that's on the inside. And nothing will quench that thirst but the word of God. The real truth of it is when the love of God comes into your heart till you want to do it. It is capitalized. You want to do it, the word of God. You want to satisfy the word of God. That's the truth of it. There is the two schools, not legalism or other Calvinism. It's both. And then Galatians, I'll close on this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, to feel like you've got to do something to be saved. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Your works won't profit you anything. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. If you think that doing things will save you, and you try to satisfy one iota of the law in that way, now you've got to satisfy the whole law that way. And you've got a problem then, because you can't do it. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, which you cannot be, but if you try to justify yourself by the law, you are fallen from grace. And we'll stop right there.
Enjoyed that very much.
Good to see you again.
Hi, how would you?